Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm joined by my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, and the New Creation Christian Ministries family and those who are connected. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you coming over for our Word Wednesday. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go right into the Word of God. Grab your Bibles if you have your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I'll be working on the computer today, so I will be using the keyboard to turn my pages. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Let us go ahead and have a moment of prayer. Father God, we praise your name. Hallelujah. We worship you and we magnify your name. God, you are worthy to be praised. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, God. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to go into your word, Father God, to teach and to share in your word on this Word Wednesday. And God, we ask, Father God, that you will be glorified during this time. Oh, God, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive everything that you have to say to us on today, oh God. And Lord, after it's all said and done, after you save souls and change lives, after you set the captives free, oh God, we will be ever so careful to give you and you only the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious, matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. And let the people of God who are assembled here on today say amen. 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 Praise God. Today we're going to be talking about the power of faith over fear. The power of faith over fear. So we're going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Amen. And we're going to start reading. I'm going to start reading from verse 1 and read through to verse 11. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Amen. Amen. And again, our topic today is the power of faith over fear. And God wanted me to start with Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, to show us that fear has been here since the beginning. Fear was in the beginning. It was in the garden. The Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. The one of power, love, and a sound mind. And what God is telling us in his word is that fear is a spirit. Amen. And fear has been released. That spirit of fear was released all the way back to the Garden of Eden with Adam, amen, and Eve, when he said, "We heard your voice, we heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and we were afraid, so we hid ourselves because we were naked." You know, and it's amazing that God said to Adam at that time, he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were naked?" In other words, God was saying, who have you been talking to? Who have you been listening to other than me? You know, that would provoke you to be afraid of me, you know. And that's why God wants me to tell you tonight to be careful of who you listen to. Amen. Be careful of who you allow to speak into your ear gates, because they may just deposit a spirit of fear into your heart. Amen. And even when the devil whispers, amen, we know that we can take every word that's contrary to the word of God. We can take it captive. Amen. We can take every thought that's contrary to the word of God captive and make it obedient to what God has said. Amen. Hallelujah. So fear started in the garden. Amen. And it talks about the serpent, the snake, being subtle. And that word subtle means crafty and sly. And if we were going to use today's vernacular, I would say even that the snake was slick. Amen. It was, some people will always say, back in the day, you're just a snake in the grass, amen. You ain't nothing but the old snake in the grass, amen. And I'm telling my age, because that's what mama and them I've heard would say, and I've said it a couple of times even, to someone who tried to get over on me or somebody who tried to pull a fast one. You're nothing but a snake in the grass, amen. And even I remember Kayla coming to me one day after she had been out with the guy that was trying to date her. And he told her, "You ain't nothing but an old snake in the grass." And she said to me, "Mom, what's a snake in the grass?" Amen. And that, you know, I told her, I said, that's someone who is crafty and trying to pull a fast one on you. Someone who's being sneaky and slick. Amen. Like the devil. Amen. Slithering around, trying to find an opportunity, amen, to trick you or to trap you up, amen, hallelujah. So we have to be careful of the slithering ones, amen, hallelujah. Those who are used of the devil to come to try to speak negativity into our lives, amen, to trip us up, to get us operating in a spirit of fear, amen, hallelujah. So. The devil came back in the garden to come against the plan of God in our lives. We know that God has a plan. We know also that the enemy has a plan. Amen. And the book of John, chapter 10, just came over there. And again, we're talking about the power of faith over fear. In the book of John, chapter 10, and I'm reading from the King James Version tonight, John chapter 10, amen, verse 10, it says, and we know this, it's a very familiar text, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And this is Jesus talking, letting us know that, yes, the devil does have a plan, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we are made aware of the fact that God's plan is greater than the plan of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's a reason to praise God right there. Amen. Knowing that God's plan will always prevail over the plan of the devil. Let's go over to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Amen. Hallelujah. And again, we're talking about the power of faith over fear. Jeremiah chapter 29. God again here lets us know about his plan. Go down to verse 11, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, for those who are taking notes. And God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place which I caused you to be carried away captive." Amen. And God is speaking here to the children of Israel, and he's letting them know, look, I have a plan. I know that I allowed you to be taken into captivity. I caused it because of your rebellion, because of your disobedience towards me. He says, but I still yet have a plan. And that's a word for somebody on today. You know, you may have gotten away from the things of God. You may be backsliding on today. You may not have been walking with God as much as you want, as much as you should have. You may even have allowed the devil to come in and trick you. But God wants you to know that he still has a plan for you. Amen. He still has thoughts that he's thinking towards you. Amen. Thoughts of peace, you know, and that word peace is just so important for us to know, because when you have peace, there is no fear. When you are walking and operating in the peace of the Lord, there is no fear. Amen. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There is an expected end that God has for you, and it is to prosper you and not to harm you. If you read that in the NIV version, he says, "I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." Amen. Hallelujah. So God has a plan that's contrary to the plan that the devil has now and contrary to the plan that the devil had in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verses 15 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Amen. Hallelujah. One way that we can continue to have the victory when fear tries to come in, because fear will try to come in. That spirit, remember, I talked about fear being a spirit. That spirit of fear will try to come in to stop you, amen, from having faith in God. The devil's plan is always to move you away from God. The devil's plan is always to move you away from your purpose in God. The devil's plan is always to move you away from your blessings, amen, from your blessed place, from your blessed possessions, and from the promises of God. And he wants to get you to forfeit everything that God has stored up for you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to always know that even though the devil is there, the Bible says that he's out there prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that he's out there, but we have no fear of him, amen, because we know that we have already been given victory over him, amen, hallelujah. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Hallelujah. And it reads, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." Remember, God was taking them to the promised land. "But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Now, I just said a whole lot right there. Amen. God is pretty much saying in a nutshell that I've given you, just like I gave you in the garden, I've given you the ability and the free will to choose me over the devil. I've given you the ability to choose life over death. I've given you the ability to choose blessing over cursing. I've given you the ability to choose good over evil. And to me, that makes me want to just shout and rejoice and praise God, because there was a time in my life that I did not have that power. I had the choice, but I didn't have the power, amen, to choose the right thing, amen. So I know that, like me, a lot of you have made some of the wrong choices, amen. But Jesus Christ, amen, is the answer to every wrong choice that you've ever made. Amen. And not only that, but as we have chosen Jesus, we have received the power through the Holy Ghost, amen, to keep choosing the right thing. My God. Hallelujah. That's why I tell you, the head of the enemy has been crushed under my feet, amen, crushed under the feet of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. When Jesus died on the cross, he stripped the devil of all power. I say he stripped the devil of all power. So when God tells us that he's given us the choice, he said, "I set before you the ability to choose. I'm giving you a choice here, amen, to choose life over death." And that's what he did in the garden. He gave Adam and Eve the choice to choose not to touch that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. But the devil came in and began to talk to Eve, to convince Eve to make another choice. Amen. Hallelujah. Which invoked again the spirit of fear. So God is saying to us today, choose life. Amen. And even in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Choose to, and I want to say to you again, the power to choice, the power of choice also means that you can choose to operate in your power. Amen. The power that God has given you. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Verse 1. It talks here, and this is what God wants us to hear after we heard the Old Testament scripture about choosing. Let's see what the New Testament talks about when it comes to choosing. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I feel like shouting, amen, hallelujah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's what I was just talking about. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. God is saying to us that the Spirit has given us victory over the flesh. Amen. And he is reminding us not to be carnally minded. Amen. And he says those that mind the things of the flesh, I want to go back to verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And that word for mind is phoneo. That's the Greek word. And it means to have understanding, be wise, to feel, to think, regard, be of the same mind, be like-minded, agree with. Amen. So when we get in agreement with the flesh, then we are considered to be carnally minded. And we are minding the things of the flesh as opposed to minding the things of the Spirit. So God is calling for us, Christians, amen, to be spiritually minded, amen, because it tells us that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Again, there we have that word. Peace. Amen. The word for life there is what Jesus came to bring us when he says, we talked about John 10:10. He says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, but I have come so that you might have life and life more abundantly. That word for life is Zoe, and it's the same word that's used here in the text. Amen.
which means the state of one who is possessed of vitality or the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God, and through him both to the Logos and to Christ, in whom the Logos put on human nature. It talks about life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ, but after the resurrection, to be consummated by new accessions. Again, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, we have life and life more abundantly. We have Zoe. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, I'm praising God over here because this word is just quickening in me to remind me, hallelujah, that God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, annihilated death and evil and destruction, hallelujah, and hell in our lives and gave us peace and life, amen, hallelujah, eternity with God, hallelujah. We rejoice over heaven, but we also rejoice over heaven on earth, amen, hallelujah, because God has taken us back through the blood of Jesus, back to Eden, amen, where we get a new beginning, where we get, again, the opportunity to choose life over death, amen, to choose blessing over cursing. We get to go back and take back what the devil stole, hallelujah. I'm going back to Eden, amen, and I'm taking back what the devil stole, hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah, hallelujah. So we don't want to be carnally. We don't want to have a carnal mindset, amen. We don't want to be wrapped up in the things of the flesh, amen, but we want to be wrapped up in the things of the spirit. And that word for spirit is a capital S, which means the Holy Spirit, amen, hallelujah, because the Bible tells us that when we believe in Christ, that we have the Spirit of God. Verse 9 says that when we are in the Spirit of God is dwelling in us, amen. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we do not belong to Jesus, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I thank God that I'm saved, amen, and filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Let's look at some more text, and again, we already have victory, amen, through Jesus Christ. And God wants us to know and make it clear that we have victory through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah. And that we must choose life over death. And we have that power to choose as long as we keep our minds stayed on Jesus, amen, as long as we keep our minds in the spirit realm, amen, hallelujah, and refuse to operate in the earth realm, we will continue to move and operate in the power of God, amen, hallelujah. So now that we have established the foundation, let's go over to the book of Luke chapter 1. We get ready to go deeper, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to let you know and remind you on today of who you are, whose you are, and what he has said about you. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, don't be afraid, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Mary, like you and like myself, was blessed and highly favored. Amen. And God wants us to know today that in order for us to have power and victory over fear, we must always remember that we are blessed and highly favored. You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And you have to continue to walk and operate in that understanding, a full understanding that God is with you. God is with you. The Bible tells us that God will be, Jesus said that I will be, you will be in me and I will be in them. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus bodily, and Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. God will always be with us, and we have to always pray for the Spirit of God to be upon us, and the Spirit of God is in us. Amen. Hallelujah. God is never alone. You are never alone. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But lo, I am with you always. Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants you to know that you are blessed and highly favored. Let's look some more at some evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So sometimes we have to look to the word, amen, in order to stir up our faith, amen, in order to get some more evidence to stir up our faith. Let's go over to the book of Galatians. Not only are you blessed and highly favored, but there's some things that God is going to birth through you. Amen. There's some things that God wants to birth through you. Jesus Christ came through the womb of Mary, a young virgin girl who didn't think that she was worthy, amen, to even be considered to bring forth our Lord and our Savior. But God chose her. And I just want to tell somebody prophetically on tonight that God has chosen you. Don't think it's strange that God has deposited some desires in your heart to do certain things that you believe are above your qualification level or above your credentials or above your capability. God has specifically chosen you and put those desires in your heart. Amen. Because he wants to birth that thing out through you. Amen. Hallelujah. God is looking for some people that he can use in this season. He's looking for some submitted vessels. Amen. God is looking for some committed vessels. Amen. Those who will pray, those who will go out and evangelize, those who will preach the gospel, those who will prophesy, those who will serve in the house of the Lord, those who will yield themselves and say, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Hallelujah. God is looking for somebody that he can use. Amen. And that's why he's depositing this word on the inside of you today to let you know that like Mary, you too have been chosen. Like Mary, you too are blessed and highly favored. Amen. Like Mary, there's some things that he's going to birth through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For his glory. For his glory. To God be the glory. Let's look at Galatians. That's the prophet in me. Hallelujah. Getting off my note. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. And here it talks about you being blessed. Even as Abraham believed God. If you want to know how you're blessed, that's it right there. you just like Abraham, believe God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Your faith in God is accounted to you for righteousness, not your righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And here God is reminding us that we are recipients of the promise through faith. And I'm just going to read a couple more verses. Verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereof. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And go all the way to verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we don't have to be convinced that we're blessed. We don't have to walk in the spirit of fear that God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. How many of you know that God is a promise keeper? How many of you know that God has already kept his covenant through? How many of you know that God has already kept his covenant to you through the blood of Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. That you are joint heirs with Abraham of the promises of God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's no reason to fear. I don't know what you're walking through right now. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough. Sometimes we feel like this sickness that tries to attach itself to our bodies will never pass. Sometimes we feel like our children are never going to get it together. Sometimes we feel like, you know, what God has given us to do is not going to prosper. My God, sometimes we feel like we're at the end of our rope. I don't know about you, but sometimes the devil comes in and tries to talk to me to make me feel like God's not going to do what he said he was going to do. Sometimes the devil tries to come in and talk to me and make me operate in the spirit of fear. But I bind up that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare and decree that the devil has no power in my life. Amen. And I want you to open up your mouth and begin to declare and decree that the devil has no power in your life. That you're not going to operate in the spirit of fear because you are joint heirs of the promise. Hallelujah. And just like God was taking our forefathers and foremothers and forefather Abraham and the Israelites into a promised land, into Canaan, amen, God is taking us into a promised land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are in that promised land. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And God is taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. I said God is taking you from faith to faith and glory to glory. And yes, the devil has raised his ugly head, and he's trying to get you caught up in the spirit of fear. But we bind him up. Amen. It won't work. you and I are not going to operate in fear because we have Jesus as our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. We have Jesus as our Redeemer. We have Jesus, hallelujah, as the seed of Abraham that came to redeem us and came to redeem our inheritance for us. Hallelujah. So we will not be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's go back to the word. Amen again.
I got all my notes again. Hallelujah. But you must know your identity in Christ. You must know that you are a joint heir of the promise. You must know that you have already, as a believer, that you have already received the promise. And yes, it shall manifest. Yes, it shall come to pass. Is God a man that he should lie? Has he spoken and shall not he bring it to pass? Hallelujah. I say nay. Nay, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent and change his mind about what he has spoken about you, about what he has spoken about me. We shall walk into everything that God has promised for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke. Let's go back to the book of Luke chapter 19. I pray this is touching and blessing somebody. Amen. I know. Amen. Pastor Emily said it's good. Amen. Hallelujah. It got to be good because the word is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God, amen, shall stand forever. It shall never pass away. And guess what? It shall never lose its power. Luke chapter 19. So my last point was you must have a full understanding that through Jesus Christ, you are blessed and highly favored. Mary was blessed and highly favored through Jesus. You and I are blessed and highly favored through Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me just read it. Luke 19:12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Somebody write that down. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good and faithful, well done, thy good and faithful, thy good servant. I'm reading. Well done, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities? And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thy also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with interest. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away.
Now,
this is similar to the parable of the talent that is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. This is a very similar accounting where God has given gifts. The master gave gifts to certain men, and he went away. And when he came back, he expected them to have brought forth increase as a result of the gift that he had given them, of what he had left them in charge over. Amen. And he told them, I like this particular accounting because he told them to occupy until I come. You know, and that is what God, Jesus is saying to us. He said, he's saying, occupy until I come. In other words, he's saying, carry on the business of my kingdom until I come. I'm trusting you to carry on the business of my kingdom. That word occupy, I'm going to go up and give you the definition of the word occupy. That word occupy means to, he says, occupy, and it came to pass, he hated them, occupy, okay. That word occupy means to be occupied in anything, to carry on a business. So he was saying, carry on my business until I come, and that's prophetically what God is saying. The Bible talks about the fact that God has given gifts to us. Amen. He's given the gifts. If we go over to the book of, if we go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts that God has given us. And God wants us to utilize those gifts. We're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 12. And God wants us to utilize those gifts until he comes, until Jesus comes back. Amen. In other words, being a Christian is not just about being blessed and going to heaven. I know I'm talking about preaching to the choir because I'm talking to a mature group of Christians on this Bible study line. Other than that, you wouldn't be here. But most of us know that being a Christian is not just about being saved and going to heaven. It's not just about being blessed and having a blessed life, but it's also about doing the work of the kingdom, amen, about being servants. You know, a lot of people are in ministry, and a lot of people do not know that the word minister means servant. Amen. And I'm a minister as a pastor in God's church, as a prophet in God's kingdom. I am a minister. I am a servant. Amen. But we take a very low position. Amen. When we take the responsibility of ministry. Amen. And that's what God is saying. I want you to carry forth the ministry of my church until I come. And that's why I have given to you gifts. Let's look at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everyone, to profit all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirit, discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man according to his capacity, severally as he will. So it talks here about the gifts and how God has given us certain gifts, amen, according to our capacity, amen, hallelujah. And I think and I believe that God also gives us gifts according to our willingness to serve, amen. And then just like the rich ruler gave each of the servants one talent, and they were all supposed to come back. One brought back 10, one brought back 5. The other one said, here's the same thing you gave me. I put it in a napkin. God is saying, I need my people to make use of what I have put inside of them. I need them to make use of the gift that I have given them. Amen. So God is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to ask you, what did you do with what I put on the inside of you? When God called me to preach, I did not want to. I was like, God, I don't want to preach. You know, that was the last thing I wanted to do, and I ran from it. And then I ended up pregnant. Pastor and I had been married a few years, and I had already had Kayla. And I was 41 years old, and I got pregnant, amen. And the baby died in my womb. I was about 5 months pregnant. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's no heartbeat, amen. So the baby had stopped moving, had stopped breathing, had died in my womb. And I had to go into the hospital. I remember it was the day before Thanksgiving. And I went to the hospital, and they had to do a, you know, DNC, take the fetus out of my womb. And God spoke to me in the hospital, amen. And he spoke to me, and he said, what if I had touched your body unto death, and you had to come to me, and you had to explain to me why you didn't do what I called you to do. I tell you, I couldn't get out of that hospital fast enough and answer the call that God had on my life. Amen. And God doesn't just call us to preach. You know, so many people think that we're all called to the fivefold ministry, all called to preach or pray or prophesy or be a prophet or an apostle. If you keep looking in that chapter 12, go down to verse 28, it talks about God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, help, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And in verse 13, he goes on to show us that the most excellent way is love, which is also a gift. Amen. So you may not be in the pulpit, but you may have the ministry of help. Amen. That's the ushers, those people who are doing housekeeping. Amen. Armor bearers that will serve the pastor, to hold up the arms of the pastor. But there is a work for you to do. Amen. In the house of God. Amen. So God wants you to just, even as we begin to come to almost the end of this Word Wednesday tonight, God wants you to examine yourself and read through chapter 12 in your spare time, you know, as homework, and say, God, what is it that you have put in me? What have you deposited in me? What have you called me to do that I need to make use of, that I need to be faithful over? Amen. Hallelujah. So God has a work for you to do. Amen. And I want to just go and close it out. I don't have time to go through all of the scriptures that I have left, but God wants, let me give you what he told me so I can have you write that down. The spirit of fear will attack you to stop you from operating in your kingdom gift and assignment to the fullest of your capacity. Amen. Because, again, we're talking about the power of faith over fear. Amen. So that spirit of fear will come on you to stop you from having faith to even do the ministry of help, because that spirit will come and try to stop you from going to church or to being a part of a ministry, amen, where your gifts can be used. That spirit of fear will make you say, oh, they won't accept you. They're not going to receive you. You know, you're just going to get hurt at that church like you got hurt at the last church, amen, because the devil is a liar, amen. Hallelujah. And the truth is not in him. So he will constantly lie to you to stop you from operating in the fullness of the capacity of your assignment. Amen. Let's look at, I'm just going to give you these points. The next point that God wanted me to tell you is don't be afraid of the evil report. Amen. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we're just going to read Mark chapter 5, verse 36, amen. Mark chapter 5, let's look at Mark chapter 5, verse 35 and 36. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thy the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word, what was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what God is saying. You know, in order to cancel out fear, we got to have faith. You just got to believe. Don't believe the evil report. Believe what God has said about you. Let's look again at Mark chapter 4. So don't believe the evil report. Jesus had told the ruler of the synagogue that he was going to his house to heal his daughter. And before he could get there, the evil report came. And the guy was afraid. Jesus knew he was afraid, but Jesus told him, look, don't be afraid. Believe what I told you. Amen. So that's a word for somebody out there. Don't believe the evil report. Don't get caught up in fear. Just believe what God has said. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. And Jesus said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Again, Jesus is talking to those who follow him, those who believe him, about not being afraid, but having faith. They're in the middle of a storm. Jesus told them, let's go to the other side. If they're in the middle of the river, the middle of the ocean, here comes a storm. And Jesus is asleep on the pillow, and they woke him up and say, Master, wake up. We're about to perish. And Jesus woke up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he wanted to know, why were you scared? I'm right here with you. And I said it earlier, God is with you. You don't have to be afraid, whether it's going on a job interview, whether it's whether worrying about a relationship and what's going to happen in the relationship. You don't have to be afraid whether you have too many bills and you don't see the money or how you're going to pay those bills. Do not entertain the spirit of fear. And the way that we cancel that out is by having faith in God. God, I believe you. I believe you. I believe that you shall provide for my every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that greater are you who are inside of me than he that is in the world. I believe, God, that you only have good in store for me and not evil. I believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. And another example of that is in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts 27. Paul is in the middle of a storm. He's one that said, I'm going to believe God. God told him he was going to go to Rome. He was on his way to Rome. In the middle of getting there, on his way there, there was a storm that hit the ship. And everybody started to panic. Amen. And And then verse 24, I want to just read Acts 27, verse 24. This is what the Lord said to Paul. And Paul began to share with the men. Let me just read. This is my last scripture because I'm out of time. But let me read 21, verse 21. But after long abstinence, now this is there in the middle of the storm. They've been in the storm for days. Amen. They threw everything overboard, and they just did not believe. They lost all hope. The Bible says they lost all hope that they would be saved. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the middle of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete, as to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Paul sounded like a madman, telling them, "Look, rejoice in the middle of this storm." That's the word for somebody. Rejoice. In the middle of that storm, I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." There is power in connection. "Wherefore, sirs," and that wasn't in the scripture, verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." So Paul was saying what I need you to say tonight. Hallelujah. I believe God. Hallelujah. I rejoice even in the middle of shipwreck, even in the middle of everything falling apart. You got to go ahead and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Like we told Sister Sarlita last night, praise God anyhow. Praise God in the middle of the storm. Praise God in the middle of the shipwreck. Praise God when it looks like you're sailing. Praise God when everybody walks away from you. Praise God if nobody believes in you. Praise God anyhow. Praise God when you get the evil report. Keep walking with Jesus like Jairus did. Praise God when the wind and the storm flare up in the middle of the you going over to the other side, in the middle of the journey, in the middle of the ocean. Praise God anyhow. Hallelujah, because Jesus is on the ship. Praise God anyway. Praise God because the angel of the Lord is going to come and speak the word to you, even in the middle of what looks like a shipwreck. When the ship is wrecked, listen, there was a shipwreck. Yeah, they did lose the ship, but God allowed them to get to the other side on broken pieces. God allowed them to get to where they were going on broken pieces. So even on broken pieces, God's going to allow you to get to where he's taking you. Even on broken pieces, God's going to allow you to get to safety. Even on broken pieces, God's going to allow healing to manifest in your body. Even on broken pieces, God's going to allow your children to come to the Lord. Even on broken pieces, God's going to bring that church together, Pastor. Even on broken pieces, God's going to allow souls to be saved and lives to be changed. Even on broken pieces, God's going to allow you to get that promotion that your enemy's trying to keep you from getting. Hallelujah. Even on broken pieces, all you have to do in order to conquer fear is to have faith in God. Amen. So I'm talking tonight about the power of faith over fear. Amen. And Jesus said it. He said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He rebuked the disciples and said, "Why is it that you have no faith? I'm right here with you." And he told the angel of the Lord to tell Paul, "You're going to make it." Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to declare unto you today, have faith over fear. Cast out that spirit of fear, because perfect love casts out fear. Amen. And you're going to make it. Amen. And that was my last scripture that I didn't get to give you, but you can read that tonight in your own time, 1 John 4:4 tells us that greater is he that's on the inside of us than he that's in the world. And 4:12-19 talks about love and the power of love and how God's perfect love and our faith in God casts out fear. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want somebody to make a note of that. It says it casts out fear. Again, I told you that fear is a spirit, and evil spirits can be cast out. Come on, somebody. So when we operate in the perfect faith, the faith of the perfect love of God, when we operate in the faith of the perfect love of God, when we operate in the faith of the perfect love of God, it casts out the spirit of fear. Amen. Hallelujah. So we praise God and we thank God. Father God, we thank you and we praise you tonight for this hour of power in your word. God, we thank you, Lord, that you have reminded us tonight, God, that fear came as a spirit, even in the Garden of Eden. That you reminded us tonight that fear is like is that spirit, and it's still prowling around as the enemy, seeking whom it may devour, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you reminded us that we are that royal priesthood, that we are joint heirs with Abraham, God. We thank you, Lord, that your word exhorts us not to be afraid, but to believe, not to have fear, but to have faith, oh God. So, Lord, I pray for every person, oh God, under the sound of my voice, and I bind up that spirit of fear, oh God, that's trying to stop them from operating in the fullness of the capacity for which you have given them, oh God. That's trying to stop them, oh God, from doing their assignment in the earth realm. I bind up that spirit of fear that's trying to stop them, oh God, from operating in total faith in you, God. Believing you, oh God. Believing your word, oh God. Hallelujah. That greater are you on the inside of them than he that is in this world. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have victory over fear, oh God. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We thank you, Lord, that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and never beneath, that we are the blessed and not the cursed, that we are the blessed and highly favored of the Lord, hallelujah, and that we have inherited life and life abundantly, and life eternally with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bless every person under the sound of my voice. And I thank you, Lord, that not one word that was spoken shall fall to the ground, but that it shall bring forth much fruit, O God, and it shall manifest favor, blessings, joy, peace, courage, encouragement, power in the lives of your people. So, Lord, we thank you for deliverance from fear tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. To God be the glory. Well, God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to go over a little. Amen. I always come with so much to give and not enough time to finish. Amen. But we did get the bulk of it in on tonight, the bulk of what God wanted to say tonight. Amen. I was blessed, and I pray that each and every one of you were blessed. Pastor Anthony will be preaching for those who can come out, for those who are in the area, and you would like to come out and be a part of what God is going to do on Friday night. And if you would like to come out and support Pastor Anthony, we are asking you to come and support. The location is 307 16th Avenue, Newark, New Jersey. And the church is In the Name of Jesus, Healing and Deliverance Ministry. And it's Friday night fire. Amen. Pastor Anthony will be preaching. Amen. And if you can't come out, we totally understand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you would like to sow a seed, you could do so by going over to our website at nccmonline.org. And there is a donate button there for those who would want to sow on tonight. Amen. We invite you to come and be a part of our worship service on Sunday. We're at 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Prophet Rebecca Simmons and joined by Pastor Anthony Simmons and the New Creation Christian Ministries family. We love you. God bless you all. Go in peace and serve our God. Good night. God bless you.